Yo. What's going on, man? This is E-Dub, and we are back with the Who Got Next podcast. Glad y'all sitting here tuning in. I got another good one this week. This brother, I actually ran into him a couple of months ago during All-Star, and I said I would love to get sit down and talk with you about a lot of the things that you have been doing and have going on. But this brother has been around Charlotte doing a lot of good things. And if you are in the know, like to go out, like to have a good time, I'll be hard pressed if you didn't check out one of his events. at least one. We got Mike Kitch on. What's going on, brother?
What's going on, man? How you doing today?
I'm doing great on this fantastic Saturday morning. I'm glad you was able to sit down with me. I do appreciate it.
Oh yeah, earlier the better, man.
Exactly. So I'm kind of glad we are
fresh.
Getting
I'm fresh. Fresh. Mine's fresh right now.
Exactly. Mine too. But I wanted to sit down and talk with you. You own Soul Kitchen.
Right.
And like I said, I moved to Charlotte back in 2007. So when I first started hearing about Soul Kitchen, the first thing I started thinking about was cooking soul. I don't know if nobody else told you that.
No, you and everybody. And a lot of people believe Kitchen's, they don't believe Kitchen's my last name. But yeah, I was, unfortunately, it's a good thing, but you will never forget Kitchen. So
exactly.
A lot of people are like, this is not your last name. I was like, yeah, it's my last name. I was born. They're like, really? Like, yeah. Or like when I go other places, they're like, so do you own a restaurant? Like, no.
It's
the same thing.
It works. If you ever decide to get into that should be pretty dope. But yeah, I always thought I said cooking soul. They were like, nah, it's not the same thing. I said, okay, well, it should be. You know, yeah. It should be, but that's two different things. But just wanted to kind of talk to you. You've been around for a while. So you have, are you a native of Charlotte?
Nope. Might as well be, though. But I've been here. I went to UNCC for my first degree, and then I moved back here in 2001, somewhere around in there.
Okay.
So yeah, pretty much. I claim Charlotte.
Where you originally from?
Military brat, man. So born in South Carolina, live a little bit everywhere. Graduated high school from Salisbury, was where my mother's from.
Mm-hmm.
So I claim Salisbury, and pretty much I claim Charlotte, but live a little bit everywhere. So
yeah, I'm a military kid too. Dad was in the Air Force, or retired. Yeah,
and plus I was in the military. I was in the Navy. So
exactly. So how was that experience being doing military and then coming back?
Man, my father or me?
You,
me. Honestly, man, it made me realize a lot of stuff. Like, the reason why I went into the military, which my dad told me when I graduated high school, like, son, you need to go in the military first. You're a little wild. You don't listen.
I would never think that about you. You're real quiet.
But I put things in perspective, put it that way. So I was like, nah, man, I'm going to go ahead and go to college. So went to school, and a lot of people don't even notice I flunked out.
Mm-hmm.
So before my dad got those grades, I'm like, I need to get the hell out of here. So I went, was trying the Air Force first, and the line was long. Like, hey, man, we can't get you in right now. I'm like, I'm trying to leave, like, now. And so Air Force wouldn't work. Army, they tried to put me in some infantry shit. And then
that's the first thing they always put black people in. I don't know why, but that's what they did.
Yeah, and then my mother's brother, my uncle, he was a master sergeant in Fort Gordon in Augusta. And I called him. I was like, hey, man, he was telling me, he said, don't do it. So, of course, next thing, I can swim.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm going to the Navy. And then that's how I got in communications as well. So I went in the Navy, did that, got out, reserves, and then went back to school as well. So, yeah, I mean, it was a good experience, man. Like, I wouldn't have done it any other way. I advise everybody, they need to go in the military to calm down. Even if you don't calm down, it's the fact that mm-hmm. you put everything in perspective. Like, we partied hard in the military, but we knew we had to have a job to do. And we had to watch each other's back.
Right.
So, to me, that's how, I don't mind having fun, but I know I have stuff to do.
Exactly.
And that's my priority, so.
Okay, so you are from North Carolina, and you are in Charlotte. So, you say you came to Charlotte, around 2001, so.
Came back. Yeah, I left for a while, got another degree, lived in Raleigh for a little bit, got into the nightclub thing, ran a nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
My mother got sick, who was still living in Salisbury, so I'm not living in Salisbury. Moved back to Charlotte.
Right, you could just kind of dip in and dip
out. Back and forth. Yeah, exactly. So.
Okay, that's what's up, man. So I want to kind of start back from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I know people would know that you would do parties and things like that. So around 2000, I guess the early 2000s, Charlotte was kind of starting to change very drastically. I used to come up here a lot. I had family up here, had friends up here. They actually went to UNC Charlotte. I went to Fayetteville State. So I would come up here a lot. So I kind of seen the changes here and there, especially from uptown. What did you back then? What did you feel a void was missing? Cause I guess you was at a point where you said, you know what, I want to kind of start doing these things. Mm-hmm. So what was the void that you felt Charlotte was missing at that time?
Well, you gotta remember, when I moved back here, I was coming from a club environment. Mm-hmm. So it was nothing like what I do now, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. But I've always been a music head, definitely. And I've always kind of see how music changes things. Mm-hmm. So when I moved back here, I was DJing, and I was like, it needs to be, number one, there wasn't really any black live music going on here, mm-hmm. whether it was local or whether it was artists coming through here. Mm-hmm. So I looked at that as a niche. Neo soul at the time was popping. Mm-hmm. Again, there was no place to go to hear that. And I think JC, the poet, a good friend of mine, he was doing poetry, but in my opinion, I didn't think nobody knew who he was. But he had his own little niche.
That was the brother that he used to do the wine up.
Wine up. Yep.
Okay, I did go out there a lot.
Yeah, JC actually, he used to come in, like when I did events. Like, I did Sunday nights for a long time with soul music. Mm-hmm. JC used to do poetry there and bring a lot of people. So that was, we kind of helped each other out mm-hmm. on that. So definitely shout out to him. But yeah, it was just a lot of things I saw that wasn't going on here. And then plus, during that time, Atlanta was changing.
Right.
And one of my mentors who helped me start getting live music here was like, hey, man, just come down and hang out, blah, blah, blah. So I was going to Atlanta, hanging out. Stacey Blackman, who's a figure here in Charlotte.
Yeah, DJ.
Yeah, his cousin lived in Atlanta who was in the music scene. Mm-hmm. So he and I both were like going down to Atlanta like every other weekend. Like mm-hmm. I'm just meeting people, networking, kind of seeing what's going on. And so I was like, I'm going to take some of these ideas and try to put them in Charlotte and see what happens.
And why do you think Charlotte just wasn't, as far as, with Charlotte being one of the biggest cities in North Carolina, number one, mm-hmm. you had an NBA team. Well, we have an NBA team. The city has a football team. You would think with that alone will bring entertainment here.
Right.
Why do you feel personally that wasn't happening even at that time?
Man, honestly, and I'll say this, I think people only deal with what they're familiar with. Because
that's Charlotte.
Yeah, that's Charlotte. Yeah.
Right.
That's just my opinion. If it's something, okay. And I'm sure you know people as well. They always say, oh, I'm tired of this, I'm tired of this, I'm tired of that.
Agreed.
When someone, and I'm excluding myself out of this, when someone comes up with something different, innovative, people kind of shy away from it. Either they don't know the person who's doing it, or they feel like, I ain't going to have a good time at this shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so they move on. But someone popular or some other brand from another city may come in and infiltrate Charlotte, which always happened. I'm sure you know that.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, oh man, we got to go to this.
Right.
We got to do this. It's the next big thing. But there are people who try those same things.
At one point or another.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know you see this. I talk about it all the time, but people, I mean, it's just, I just think people only deal with what they're familiar with or what is glorified on social media.
I agree. And then I think when I moved out here, I'm say 2007 was when I got here, mm-hmm. that was a big, heavy time because the CIAA had moved to Charlotte.
Yep.
And that's when I started seeing things change a little bit. I'm not sure if there was ever a thing prior to CIAA, but CIAA was the first time I ever witnessed a day party to my eyes. So I think when the party thing started to pick up around here, you started seeing a little bit more of an influx
right.
of promoters. So at that time, I heard about you, and then, you know, you had the likes of, you know, Mads Entertainment just starting, you know, trying to start out. And I'm saying trying because at that time, they was just, you know, they was fresh and new. Digital Divas, Inner Circle. So I had heard about these groups that were doing these things, that were putting on these parties. But you kind of touched on a good point about it took other people from the outside to infiltrate Charlotte to say they didn't want to do those things. And I think people around here were doing those things. Also at a time then, there were a lot more venues to that I think these events were happening. Mm-hmm. Now you're not seeing that. So do you think things have just changed drastically because of that point of just not wanting to get themselves out there and just want to do something new, or you just think that it's just always going to be the same thing over and over and over?
Both. And the reason why I say that, man, because you're going to always have somebody who think they can do what you do better. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you and your frat brothers do a party,
right?
I'm sure it may be some younger frat somewhere else be like, oh, man, nobody want to party with them old ass motherfuckers. We can do this.
True.
So, I mean, it's the same thing, man. Like, that whatever your crowd is, for some reason, it might be somebody in your crowd that says, I hate going to this. And so that gives you an idea. Well, I can do this because this girl or this guy said it. They didn't like going to that. And a lot of times, that's how a lot of things happen, because these words, professionals, young professionals, urbanites, socialists, and all this stuff, you know, that's how a lot of this stuff gets started.
Right.
But it's hard to say, man. And to your thing you said about day party, I was doing CIAA when I was in Raleigh.
I loved it in Raleigh, too.
Raleigh was, man.
a different dynamic, dude, but Raleigh, man, was a good time.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And I was just fresh from leaving, so I still had my ties there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, day parties, a group Dynasty 5 out of Raleigh, in my opinion, started the day parties. Okay. And the reason why I say that is because, and it was during CIAA, because what they did, they sold advanced tickets for all their events. And so instead of having everybody coming to the door, I'm on the list, I got tickets, they wanted somewhere the people to come during the day to pick their tickets up. So, and they were free.
Mm-hmm.
So the day parties were free. You had a DJ.
At that point, they were always free.
They were always free because it was about, hey, man, we got these 2,000 people just bought tickets to the Magic Johnson event.
Mm-hmm.
So how are we going to give them to them? Let's go get this building and do a day party. And it worked, and people caught on. Hell, I mean, I was even doing things with them back then, and I was like, damn, it's a smart idea. So, but once day parties got here with CIAA, I think it spun out of control.
It took on a life of its own, because, like you said, I think at that time you could go to a free party. You could go during the day,
yep.
get drunk, have a good time, go get you something to eat with your friends, and go home. Yeah, exactly. So, and at that time, I was at about 20, you know, in my 20s. So now, even at 37, going on 38, I'm at that point now, I just won't do too many night parties during that time frame because I'll be tired. Like, I'll be tired. So I may hit up one or two day parties throughout, you know, on that Friday and Saturday. And like, what you about to go to the night party? I'm like, nah, bro, I'm going home.
Hey, man,
I'm
tired. You hit those day parties hard, man. Like,
exactly.
See, even now, and I know a lot of events aren't popping like they used to be, but some day parties, man, you just get
legendary. Some day parties are legendary.
And you go hard, man. You just don't. It's 8 o'clock. You're like, damn, I got Jazzy Jeff at 10. How the hell am I gonna make it? Like, you can't go to sleep. Like,
you
gotta
stay
eat,
up,
take a shower. I don't even want to go to my room.
It was like a job.
Yeah,
it was a full time job. And I'm at the point now, you know, be a little bit older, I try to make sure to support my school. So
right.
I made sure to go to all the, you know, if we're winning, I was there at the game, so at Fairfield State. But other than that, it was hard to get into those, you know, try to do that because people, yo, where you going? This person got this. And me being in Charlotte, that was always the question. Like, with me or whoever else, yo, what party do I need to go to? It's like, man, pick one.
And that's the thing.
You can't go wrong with any one of them.
So some of them don't, like, go into the night. It's like you got that break.
Right.
And so that break is the worst thing in the world.
And that break ain't long, because you got to figure it out. If you don't have your stuff figured out before you leave the house,
yep,
you pretty much short, because it's like, look, if you unless you're willing to pay $100, because that's what people would charge it. Like, unless you ready to pay $50, $60, $70, $100, man, you pretty much short. So, yeah, but it is kind of – it's real different now. That's why I'm kind of glad that it is leaving for a little bit, despite the reason why it's leaving. But, you know – need a change. It needs a change. Things are changing, and I just want to see my conference win. You know, from
so let me ask you this: since you say it's leaving, and I agree with, I'm glad it's gone. I'm glad it's leaving because I want people from Charlotte to see what they're missing.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely the money.
I agree.
I don't know how it's going to be received in Baltimore, but it is what it's there for 3 years. I hope it works out well. I'm like you on the conference. So you think me, I could come here? Because if it does,
I believe it can.
Those are the bigger HBCUs.
I agree. I believe it can, because I think, and I know this is crazy to say, CIAA set a blueprint as far as promotion-wise and entertainment-wise for those not attached to the conference itself.
Right.
So I believe it can be done, and I believe there was one time where that was a conversation because, of course, when CIAA left Raleigh to come to Charlotte, the idea was for the MEAC to go to Raleigh's and get out of the Richmond Hampton area. It did not work. It did not work at all. And even the ones that I was real cool with, they was like, I'm not going. And maybe because they were so fixated with the CIAA, but I did say that the fact that they're leaving, if the MEAC don't take any type of, you know, accountability of trying to get down here to see what can work, they're going to be missing out. I believe it's a neutral area. Can't say that when you had the Battle of the Bands here and things like that, these schools still came up this way, so why couldn't it work? Yeah, bigger HBCUs. I believe personally it could work. I hope it does
because I think it'll be on steroids because it might be like the first year CIAA get here. I remember I was walking around, you couldn't find shit to do.
Mm-mm. That was what, 2006, right?
Yeah, first year, except for the AKA party at Phoenix. That was the only
the
thing.
The forum then.
The forum, yeah.
Oh, boy, I had a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
They had put on some good parties, man.
They had Thursday nights on lock for a long time.
I always came down on Thursday nights, too.
That was like the only thing really hitting that first year. Now, but I just think with the different types of schools, and plus those are, to me, those are the bigger HBCU schools. Mm-hmm. And probably the more popular ones. We got A&T Central.
Exactly.
FAMU, Howard.
Bethune-Cookman. So it
would be crazy. But it may take a year. I think it'll be crazy, but I'm interested in seeing if it's going to come.
And I mean, and if it does come, like I said, if they do it, they got to strike now because my personal opinion, I do feel that once it makes its run to Baltimore, if nothing does come here around that time, Charlotte is going to, I think the city of Charlotte is going to get their mind right and say, look, we need you all to come back and let's figure it out. I just think the city lowballed them. But at the same time, I think the CIAA didn't do their due diligence and trying to, you know, figure out different ways to, and that's a whole different conversation to have. Me and Lex,
that's my dude.
Yeah, that's my guy. He's part of the freshman. We do the sneaker showcases and stuff like that back in the day. So we have these conversations all the time. And he was actually on the show. And we have these conversations all the time about that. So it's possible, and I just think Charlotte's just at that point where those things can happen.
They were comfortable, so they didn't like, well, you know, we're going to get this and that. We're going to charge this. They're going to steal. But you saw the downfall in the numbers. Like, the hotels were too expensive. Even once CIAA got involved with the hotels, still kind of expensive. Not as they used to be. Mm-hmm. The numbers were down. And then more people were coming in Saturday and Sunday instead of Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
So.
And also with that, you're talking 12 years. I think
it's a long time.
And people have that mentality sometimes, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I think that's a bad mentality to have sometimes when it comes to business from this standpoint. You can't do that. You got to make sure that people are still coming. But I think promoters, and they'll do the same thing a lot of times. They're not switching it up.
Right.
Or the promoters were coming in from the outside and coming in. So it was fun. It was always interesting to see the competition and the dynamics from promoters that are still here in Charlotte and the ones that are outside because you are competing with them because they don't know the area, but they may, and I'm not singling one person now, I'm just talking about in general. Some of those promoters may come from a crap load of money and they be like, well, look, let's just drop. It's kind of like All-Star. You know, that's a whole different dynamic. Like, I'm like, man, you got to get in where you fit in there because these corporate sponsors going to come in and drop their check. On these companies, you think you set and you realize you not because American Express came in and dropped $250K to your whatever you put in. Like, man, you SOL on that. So I would love to see the MEAC come here and see what.
I think if we had after 2021, if we had a break, and then MEAC, I don't know what their contract is in Norfolk, but maybe they come in 2022, and give us a year. Like we ain't got shit, and then I think it would be great. But
so do you think both? So if that did happen, do you think it's let's say the CIAA come back? Do you think it's possible to have both of those tournaments here?
Well, you know, I was talking about that before when I think before they renewed in Norfolk or went to Norfolk, they were talking about coming down here again. I can't confirm that, but I don't see. I mean, it could happen because it's like what 2 weeks apart usually.
Yeah. Because they're making their run through the NCAA tournament to try to get a ticket.
Usually CI is the last weekend in February, mm-hmm. and MEAC is the middle.
Yeah.
But you also got to think, it's floating around, ACC comes here too.
Yeah.
So.
And the good thing about that, they're not coming here for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
So that actually could work.
Yeah. If I don't know, again, I don't know about their contract with Norfolk. I know they're in Norfolk next year. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the last year or whatever. But, yo, it would be dope, man, they came here.
I hope
because,
so.
Because think about it, we have South Carolina State, Howard, FAMU, A&T, and Central have huge alumni chapters here.
Mm-hmm.
I've done something with all of them.
Yeah.
And they support.
They do.
So just them alone.
Right.
And then plus a lot of them are here. And, you know, FAMU has a large base in Atlanta. It's right down the street.
Exactly.
You know, Norfolk and them are right up the street.
It's possible. You know,
DC's right the street.
It's possible.
Yeah, so I think it would be kind of dope, man. Hit Central, A&T, hour, mm-hmm. 2 hour drive. You know, I think it would be dope to have them here, man. The sooner the better. Okay. But I also like to see a year where they'd be like, all right, we ain't got nothing. Y'all missing all this damn money. Lowballing.
Right.
But next year, y'all need to handle it different. So it'd be interesting to see what they're going to do.
I agree.
How'd you like All-Star for you on the next thing?
I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it because I've done All-Star before. I did All-Star in New Orleans two times. I did it 2008? He's from New Orleans.
Okay.
2008, and then I also did it when it was supposed to come here, and 2017.
17, yeah.
I went down there 2017. So I kind of I understood what to expect. I think what happened here was you got to listen to two different chatters. Right. So
I'm listening.
So one chatter on one side was, oh, it's not CIAA. Well, shit, those shits are like it's not supposed to be CIAA. And then on the other hand, it's like, I enjoyed everything that I did. The reason why I enjoyed everything that I did because I did my due diligence and I went to everything free.
Right.
Jack Daniels had a party. I was there. So I was kind of aware because I do go to the Art Beats and Lyrics all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels is a sponsored event by the NBA. So I think I was looking online and I was like, hold on, this around September. This September, October, how come Art Beats and Lyrics hasn't came yet?
Yeah.
So I started looking online and it said, we're showing up in February. Right then, nope. Let me go ahead. I already registered. I registered then, told my people, hey, listen, I don't know how, I'm just a innocent bystander. I'm not sure. I said, but my gut tells me that Jack Daniels is gonna come back around in February, and they're gonna do a whole bunch of events for mm-hmm. All Star. Because, and I was right. But I enjoyed it. Everything I did was free. Just walking down, I had a chance to talk to just about every beat writer that I was aware of. Mm-hmm. Just kind of picking their ear, just messing with them about the sources or what you think about Kemba. Give me a source, things like that. So I always had a good time. I like the fact that it was real controlled. People would say, well, nobody was really out. Nah, there was a lot of people out. The problem was is that you had a lot of private events that these guys put on single-handedly every year, and you would never know about it unless you just happen to go through social media and you realize, oh, shit. Even then you might not know. So those are just like the little things that you saw. With some of the people I follow that do things as well. They was out, you know, doing things and stuff like that. But I enjoyed it. But again, I also knew what to expect. All-Star CIAA was just two different animals on two different levels. But I enjoyed it. What about you?
I had a ball. I had a damn ball. And the three events I did, we made money and had fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I went to a lot of free events. You know, I had people contacting me who's in the business like, yo, you need to go meet my man. He's going to be here. I'm going to put you on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm cool. Exactly. You know, so roll with some friends. And I enjoyed it. And it's just funny, like, how people – and I've been All-Star too. I went to All-Star in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first time. But I just think it's funny, like, the next day I'm reading all this, oh, All-Star ain't shit, All-Star ain't like C.I. No, it ain't supposed to be like C.I.
Not supposed to be like it.
But it was a lot of people in the city.
It was a shitload of people here.
It was a lot of stars. Like, even the stars I knew who were here, it was ones bigger than that.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was just people everywhere. Like, you just didn't, you know, I saw Jamie Foxx walking the street. you know, and mm-hmm. saw this person over here. Like, it was just people everywhere,
and
man.
And don't be surrounded by security like that, which is crazy, which was crazy because
yep.
I took the light rail up here every time. Mm-hmm. And every time I went through the Hilton, crazy, I go that way to work, me and my other friend. Every time we walked through the Hilton, Nori was right there. Cool. Like, because I saw, and I'm not big on, especially with guys. So yeah. You don't never know how to approach them. It's like, oh shoot, they're going to Nori. And I think I walked in because I walked the jury to it. Dory made some dog. You know, he just like, oh, shoot. So he sat down and chopped it up with us. Just a real good guy. And remembered me the next day. Like, oh, shoot, we seen each other again. So I think it was that interaction as well because a lot of people were just walking around freely.
Yep.
And like you said, but if you don't know him, you don't know him. But, you know, got a chance to see a lot of people. Refs that you always see in the games and stuff like that. You just want to sit there and mess around with them. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good – I think it was a good look for the city. I think it was about time. And I'm glad they got it in now because we don't know if Kim will coming back. So
yeah, I think people, especially promoters, man, they so busy thinking about the money shit that they don't think about like the experience. Like I had only day events,
mm-hmm.
you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I was cool. I went out a few times at night. Hell, even slipped out my own events
to go check out something else.
So I mean, and a lot of people I know were here. And like, hey, man, you know, we're performing over here. Come over here. So I had a ball, man. Like, and people just too busy. Oh, man, ain't like that. Like, again, there were a lot of private parties that were crazy. And
areas probably right up under your nose. And you probably walked right by it. Didn't even know.
Exactly.
And I think that's the beauty of it. But I think it put Charlotte in a great light. Kind of backtrack.
Okay.
You had said you was going back and forth to Atlanta. You had kind of got up with somebody. Was mm-hmm. that when you started Soul Fusion? Soul Fusion
that's
here?
My dude. That's my boy Jay Carter. Like, we at the time, it was funny because we used to talk shit to each other. Like, I'm going to do this in Charlotte, and man, what do you see what I'm going to do next? You know, like
that, like friendly competition.
Yeah, that's my guy. Uh-huh. Like, really, that's my guy. Learned a lot from that dude. But he... So yeah, I will go down to Soul Fusion. Actually, I think we did two Soul Fusions here. Soul Fusion CLT. We did two here. Yeah, Jay's my dude. Jay also worked with one of my mentors. So we became close. Hell, just talked to him the other day. So but yeah, I'm like just seeing the different things he was doing and wondering why something like that couldn't work here. You know.
So and Soul Fusion, I think that was more based on bringing not just black people together, but you wanted to kind of cross cultural lines and bring everybody together because.
That was one of the first parties I went to that it wasn't all the same shit you hear on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had Afrobeats DJ and had a R&B DJ and had a hip-hop DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably wouldn't hear anything that was current.
Right.
And beautiful women and everybody dancing and have a good time. It's packed. They're paying.
Right.
So it wasn't like everybody was on like, y'all ain't going to play this. Y'all ain't going to play that. This is whack. It wasn't nothing like that.
Nobody complained. Everybody had a good time.
Everybody had a good time. And it was about, you know, living life, the music, no problems. And it was a good time. Like, that was, like, really the first part. I was like, damn, I don't hear anything new from the radio. Like, because, mm-hmm. you know, typically the radio kind of dictates what DJs play a lot of times.
I agree.
So it was none of that.
Mm-hmm. Pop Life.
Mm-hmm.
I think Pop Life. Do you think Pop Life was probably one of your best runs as far as, like, consistently at that time?
Well, I do a lot of concerts and – sometimes mm-hmm. I don't even put my name on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes and no. Like, that was a 10-year party. So,
a great.
That started party. The name Pop Life was Prince. I'm a Prince head, but that's probably one of my favorite songs by him. But we were picking at popular culture
mm-hmm.
because a lot of people don't know when we first started. Like, you heard house, Afrobeats,
mm-hmm.
Brazilian. It was like a after work thing from 6 to 10. It was free. We had food, and that's how we got it started. And I started with Carton Hargrove, who was editor of Creative Loafing.
Right.
So it grew from that, had to move it. And also, another key thing is we wanted to move it to different venues.
Right. I think when I came to Charlotte, you had just moved it to Apostrophe Lounge.
Yeah, so we left. See, it was...
But you were somewhere in Noda before that, right?
We were in Noda. Then we went to Law 1523.
I did go there when it was Law 1523. Okay.
And then we went to Apostrophe. And then we went to Luna. And then we finished out the Republic. Last 3 or 4 years at Republic.
Okay.
Because it was just growing, man, like so quick.
And let me touch on that, because you kind of skated. You kind of skated past that, but we're going to talk about. I'm going to give you from a consumer's view. Okay. So. I moved to Charlotte 2007, 2008, and I'm like, bruh. And I'm a big music head. I don't care too much about what I hear on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Big 90s era cat. Love the 80s, love the 70s, soul music and things like that. So I was looking for those type of places. My homeboy was like, yo, they got this spot called Pop Life that they be doing. I said, word, but when is it? They was Wednesdays. It said it's on a Wednesday. I said, okay, bet that works. I said, I go to work on Thursday at 12. I said, so I could do that. I said, but how is it? He said, man, I honestly think you would like it. He said, it's just really you just chilling and you just kind of sitting around. All right, cool. So I went, listened to the music. I think DR was doing it that day. And I had heard about DR because my sister had stayed in Charlotte at the time. And she was real cool with him. So uh-huh. She was like, I think you'll like this DJ because I know you're into that thing. So. That's when I started realizing, okay, this is my type of vibe. It wasn't too packed,
mm-hmm.
and it was not too low on patrons in there. So that was my type of vibe. So by the time it got to Apostrophe being a little bit small, it started getting a little bit more packed. And I said, okay, shoot, I think I was going I was going consistently all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Then you went to Luna. When you went to Luna, I think this is my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's when it started to shift. And I think it was one point in time. I think I was going up there. I think you was DJing, matter of fact, when I think one of those.
Yeah,
names.
I used to open.
Yeah.
That's when I could play what I want to play.
Right.
And then after that, you had to turn up. And I couldn't. I wouldn't. I said, that ain't me.
Exactly. So I think I went when it was Luna Lounge and CIAA came around. Y'all had tents out there. And I drove by and I said, oh, fuck no, I'm not going to that. I said, I'm not going to that. Not because of the – it was just that
– crazy.
It was just that crazy, and I think that's when you had made the shift. I think right after that, you was moving the shift to Republic. And I think on the Republic, I started kind of really have – really started – because then it started turning into – it wasn't really a networking event no more. It was – now it was a turn-up party type deal. And that's what I want to kind of touch on.
Okay.
And I think this is Charlotte's issue. I think what happens is you do something, and I think it takes people a long time to catch on. But when something is free, it changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that night I was like, okay, now I'm starting to see it's not just people my age in here. I'm starting to see a little bit more of a young crowd because they hear free. They hear about the good things going on. It happens all the time. It's not just with Pop Life. I've seen it happen with consistent events from other promoters that was going on. I saw it with Grits and Biscuits at one time. You come in and you do these things, and like, okay. When you do get to that point, that lets you know you're doing something right. But at the same time, how do you feel when it started getting bigger than what it was? Did it change your mindset on how you wanted to do parties? Was that your vision at the moment?
The vision was, because, again, it was from 6 to 10.
Right.
So we wanted y'all motherfuckers who worked.
Right.
Come in after work. You got food, drink specials, listen to some dope music,
mm-hmm.
take your ass home, go to work the next day.
Right.
The reason why we start going later, because people will come in late.
Right.
So we'd be in there like literally from 6 to 8, it would be me, Carlton, and the DJ eating up all the damn food.
Just chilling.
Yeah. And then people start coming in at 8.
You know, black people like to make an entrance, too. It's like it's not about just showing up on time or early. Black people love to say, I show when I can. Hey, girl. You know, they want to come in. They want to make their entrance. They want to steal the show.
Fuck all that.
No, I agree. Like, I agree, because I'm there. You tell me it's 6 or 7 o'clock. Man, I'm there at 6 or 7 o'clock.
It was weird because then at 8 o'clock, people coming in there and wanting a party and all this. And like, oh, we in at 10. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. No, we open at 6. Or the food is gone.
Mm-hmm.
The food was here at 6. I mean, you know, my ass, Carlton, and a few other people, we sitting there ate up all the damn food. So, to answer your question, it was just weird. Like, we had to make that shit. Like, I had to make a decision because, number one, the venues were like, Mike, we sitting in here for 2 or 3 hours with nothing. Mm-hmm. So we figured we would just change it to 8 because I think, if you remember, it went from 6 to 8. And then it was like 8 o'clock until – 8 to 12. And then I changed. I said, it's a late night party. So yeah. 10 o'clock. And then that would even make it crazier. But
on a Wednesday, too. Which yeah, on is, a Wednesday. Like, say, on a Wednesday. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you a funny story. And I was talking to one of my close friends, Dexter Dynamite.
Yep.
Me and him were sitting outside. I don't – He said, yo, you going to Pop Life? He said, Republic. I said, you know what? I'm off. I said, I'm gonna check it out. Again, line crazy. I think it's the party got stopped. I think somebody had a little issue or something like that in an ambulance or somebody. I don't know. But there was a female who couldn't get in. She was 38 hot. I mean, super hot. And she was sitting right beside just out there cursing up a storm. Man, I can't get in, all this other stuff. Pulled out her phone. And was trying to get in contact with the news or 911 or somebody like that. Like, it was that bad. I was looking at it like, so you really going to call because you can't get in? She's like, hell yeah, I'm about to call them, man. She said, if I can't party, nobody could party. And I'm like, damn. Like, but that's where me and him looked at each other like, I was like, hey, man, this brother arrived. I said, he arrived for a free party because I said, this is nuts. Nuts in a good way. Like,
everybody thinks they're entitled, man. Remember that.
I agree. Everybody,
and there ain't that. Nobody.
So now with Pop Life ended, you started kind of doing, and I'm trying to get through everything. I think Pop Life, you say you had these great talking online. You had great relationships with people. Mm-hmm. So there has been a couple of times that I think was kind of like the highlight of my Pop Life experience. Big Boy came in, and he wasn't even supposed to be doing anything, just chilling. But I don't know. I think he started feeling the groove.
Yeah, he started drinking.
started drinking. So Fresh, So Clean came up.
We were doing Crown Shot. And I was like, I don't even drink brown like that, but I'm doing it with Big Boy.
Right. I could tell he started feeling a little bit because he wasn't quiet no more. He just grabbed a microphone, got on that speaker, and put on the show. Like, that was probably one of my good experiences because nobody was expecting that, you know, but he just said, fuck it, I feel good. Let me just go ahead and do a show. And when you brought Questlove, mm-hmm. I think Questlove was a great experience. Because I think that was at a time he's Questlove. But I think he was starting to get out there more with DJing as far as traveling and things like that.
Yeah, I think you could say that. You didn't come to Jazzy Jeff for Halloween?
I don't think I don't been to so many Jazzy Jeff things. We're going to talk about that too.
Yeah,
but
we're Jazzy Jeff for Halloween. And the funniest story about that shit, and Jeff and I still talk about this today, it was a dude in a Spider-Man costume dancing in front of the booth. And this motherfucker gets in a fight.
Oh, shit.
And Jeff says, I'm sitting here DJing. He said, this is why I hate clubs, man. He said, I'm sitting here DJing on Halloween night. And I'm sitting here watching the funniest shit in the world. This motherfucker in a Spider-Man costume, I'm talking with the mask and all,
right,
was fighting somebody else in another costume.
I'm surprised Jazzy Jeff saw that because he's so focused.
Dude, you can't miss it.
Right, he's so focused on what he's doing. I don't ever see him look up. Dude. Like, I never see him look up.
You couldn't miss that shit because it was, because you know the stage and you can just look down.
Right.
Like, the dude was right there dancing with his girl, and all of a sudden he got in a fight, and that shit was the funniest thing in the world, man. Like, this motherfucker got in a fight in a Spider-Man, and like in a Spider-Man costume. He didn't take the mask off to breathe; he kept it on and was fighting. I was waiting for some webs to shoot out his ass. Like, this shit was funny, man. I was like, oh my god! Like, that was the funniest. Mm-hmm. That was probably my funniest moment ever.
That's crazy
in Pop Life.
And you was talking about Jazzy Jeff. I think that's one of my favorite DJs ever.
It is my favorite.
He's
the GOAT to me.
I agree. I believe he's – I don't think nobody – I've seen this brother do things that I've never seen being done before, and that's just what he does. So, if you're going to get my money, that's one thing you do get my money for. I'll be honest with you.
All right, June 14th.
I saw it. I will – dang, I ain't going to be here. I'll be out of town. I've got to go
Shameless home. Plug, June 14th.
Yeah, go so – So yeah, how did that relationship come about, and how are you able to get him on a consistent basis to come here?
A guy I grew up with, it was friends with him, mm-hmm. and I was, again, I'm a DJ, so that's one DJ I look up to. I don't know, something in my head was like, man, you need to try to get Jazzy Jeff. And I was asking people, literally, like, what do you think? And some of them, oh, man, Jeff gonna play that old shit, Jeff, you know. And, like, you know, Jeff doesn't talk. That's why he has a hype man.
Exactly.
He's, like you said, focused. And so finally, in Atlanta, ran into my guy I grew up with. He was like, man, I talk to Jeff every day. That's my dude. Because mm-hmm. he DJs, too. He's like, yeah, Jeff, Molly Marl, all them cats. I was like, yo, hook it up.
Right.
He called Jeff right there. He said, tell him to call my manager. I'll be aware of it. And I got him here. It was at the old Amos. The first time I did was at the old Amos when it was smaller.
Right.
Okay. Maybe did half a house that first time. Broke even. But I was like, okay. And so I didn't think I would bring him the next year, but then I started bringing him every year. And then CIAA, he had never been to CIAA.
Right.
I don't even think he knew what CIAA was, to be honest with you. But mm-hmm. he was like, man, thank you. Like, wow. I never experienced anything like this. Like, thank you. With black folks, never. and he could
play what he wanted. Like, exactly. Really, really get in and play what he wanted.
Exactly. It's like, play what you want. And then when I did the Kid Capri and Jazzy Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Doing CI, and I worked on that for 4 years, literally
mm-hmm.
for 4 years. That was like, to me, that was a highlight of my CIAA. Like, those two greats on stage.
At one time.
And 4,000 people.
Now Kid Capri, well, they both come all the time, but Kid Capri comes, he will show up CIAA all the time, you know, yeah. all the time now. I don't think Jazzy Jeff comes much.
It's a schedule, man. Like,
it's all about schedule.
I haven't. When's the last time I had him at Bubble 2, maybe 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get him here for the last one. But, again, he's on tour so damn much.
Oh, yeah, he be in Yugoslavia, places like that. Because I already
put the request in. Like, as soon as I found out the dates with CI, I said, hey, this is the last one.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get you down here, so we'll see what happens. Hopefully he can be here. Well, I don't care if it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I don't care. Like, I just got to get him here for the last one.
Okay. Now, you said you used to do the parties and you did the concerts. So now you have moved into concerts and festivals and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you enjoy more? Do you enjoy organizing a party more? Do you kind of enjoy, you know, curating these events for the city?
Well, I've always done concerts. I like concerts because people buy advance tickets. If it rains, you ain't got to worry about it.
Exactly.
No, but seriously, I like good events, period. So it doesn't matter whether it's a concert with a DJ or blight or like but I do like concerts because I am a music head. So,
mm-hmm.
and it's a good way for me to meet people that I admire. You know, like Robert Glasper, like real cool guy.
One of my favorites.
Yes, yeah, like. Sitting with a friend now, Dwele, Kendrick. I mean, it's a lot of people I've done. John Legend first got started, you know, bring him here.
Mm-hmm.
Just meeting a lot of people, man, that way. And then on top of that, like, the circle is so small. Like, I might meet the tour manager for John Legend. He may be the tour manager for Marsha Ambrosia. He may be the tour manager for The Roots.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to be on your P's and Q's because you never know who you're going to run into somebody sooner or later.
Exactly. And it's all about networking. I'm real big on telling people don't ever burn your bridges.
Yeah, if you burn a bridge, make sure you're not going to go back to it.
Exactly, because you will never know. And I think with Charlotte, it's big, but it's small. So you're going to run into somebody who knows somebody that could possibly be the, I ain't going to say ticket, but be the, you know, be the arm that you need to kind of get you where, you know, get you where you want to go. So with Charlotte in 2019, where do you see Charlotte going? With Charlotte growing faster than normal now, with everything going, do you think there's finally going to be that arena for consistent entertainment to come here?
Do you mean different entertainment?
Different.
All right. Just like the conversation we were having before we started this, people only go to a lot of things they're familiar with. Mm-hmm. They say they want to change. They really don't want to change. And if they want to change, it's usually from someone who, and I don't want to make it sound like no military infiltrate Charlotte, but something big on social media comes here, and you know those events. We all know them. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, they feel like, yeah, I ain't going nothing else the rest of this quarter because nothing else highlighted the party like this one. You know,
and they're waiting. They're waiting for that particular party to come back.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. everything else people do in Charlotte is whack until something like this come back through.
Right.
Again, I just think people aren't familiar. Like, to me, live music is sort of different because you actually. I'm a big fan of instruments. I'm not a big fan of shows with tracks.
Oh yeah, I hate it. I hate that.
Now, if it's going to be a track show, it should be a party. Like, you're at a party, so-and-so mm-hmm. jump on stage, track, da, da, da. But a concert, got to have some live instrumentation in it. It's other ways to entertain, like, we talk about speakers, podcasts, stuff mm-hmm. like that. It's other ways. Like, now, it's cool that it's different things that people like, but it also is kind of bad because you don't know if the community supports it.
Right.
And these are the same people that say they want to see something different. But they talk about it, you bring it in, they don't support it, and then they have an excuse. But they may go to New York, Miami. Oh, I saw this same thing, the same podcast, the same speaker, and pay double the money.
Right.
But won't pay that here. So it's the mindset, man. Like it is what it like. I've never really bitched about it. I just try to hit the people I know to support them who like good things, mm-hmm. and just go from there.
Hey, man, I think Charlotte is getting there. I think with just people I'm talking to, I think they're ready for something different. But like you said, they talk about it, and then when you present that product, you know, are they going to support it? It's a good question. I would say yeah. But is it going to be that same core people, or are you going to bring somebody in from the outside that's never experienced an event? A Soul Kitchen event or anything like that. I know sometimes you do collab with other promoters that you, I guess, you're cool with, the things mm-hmm. like that. Do you find that gratifying as far as doing it? Do you always try to do that? Or if it makes sense.
If it makes sense. Like, and yeah, the ones I usually team up with, I've been knowing them for a while, or we've always talked about, or whatever the case may be. Or like if I'm doing something different, totally different, mm-hmm. and I'm like, okay, this cat, his crowd probably would like this too, mm-hmm. you know. So look at it from that standpoint. So it works out not only for patrons, it works out for the promoters as well, and works out for the city. So it's something different.
That's what's up, man. Kitch, man, I do appreciate you sitting down with me.
Thank you for having me, man.
Hey, glad to have you. I know I want to bring you in again later on, and I would like to talk to you about just Charlotte in general.
Yeah, please.
Charlotte in general, because I think there's going to be a lot of things coming up down the pipe, but I would just love to.
So you want to piss people off?
No. I don't look at myself.
You know you can't. You know you can't save so much and be honest around here. You know that.
I do agree, and but I think there's a
hit, like you a hater, or I was in Charlotte before anybody else did this shit, and motherfucker. Prime example, when Peter said he was King of Charlotte.
Oh God.
I was laughing. I was like, why are people so hyped about
it? Oh, that took
people
on
were upset.
Took on a life of its own, man. I think I was online. I was in one of my chat groups talking to a couple people that does stuff around the city. I said this is about to get ugly. Like,
so,
meaning from a
so
social.
Before we get off, what do you think about that comment? Him saying that he's King of Charlotte. And he's not from, he just moved here.
I think.
What is your honest opinion?
My honest.
We're going to be honest.
I'm going to be honest. My honest opinion is you fucked up. Because I know how people in Charlotte are. Right. But.
And how are they?
They're fickle. They could be fickle at times. And the ones that are natives here take true pride in that.
Right.
They take true pride in that. And then you have promoters that was here before him that took offense to it.
Okay. So before, I'm going to play devil's advocate. So.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah. So. We're going to get over this real quick. So he said he was King of Charlotte. With that being said, he made moves though. He opened two venues.
Agreed.
He moved here, agreed, did his homework, opened two venues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was on the verge of opening a third one.
Yeah. And people were going to those venues.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying he's the king or hello the prince or whatever, Charlotte. I don't right. care. Titles don't matter to me.
Right.
But, I mean, he has a right to say that, don't you think?
No, I agree. He does have a right.
But nobody else was really doing anything at that time?
You got to be confident. Number one, I'm a supreme believer in confidence.
Right.
If you don't believe it in yourself, how is anybody else going to believe it?
Right.
Two, you're a businessman. You're trying to make money. You're in a different city that you're not familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get people to come out? People love controversy. People love ruffling feathers. But there are also people that wants to be in the know. It wants to say, oh, I did this and I went there. At that time, he was making a name for himself, being true, alongside Cynthia with the Real Housewives of Atlanta. I'm in Atlanta. I don't watch the show, but I'm either. Very familiar with everybody on the show. So I looked at it as a confident thing. You know, like, but I also said to myself, ooh.
People ain't gonna like that shit.
People are not gonna like this. And as soon as I said that, you started seeing certain people, certain promoters and things like that pissed. And he ain't the king of shit. Like, does it matter? Like, why are you so vexed about this? Like,
yeah,
it's just a comment. Look, man, I said this brother trying to make money. He, when you go home to, you know, you clock in, like, you whatever you're doing, like, you probably clocking in, you're working a specific shift. These are entrepreneurs, man. These entrepreneurs are trying to get paid. And I just think me being an aspiring entrepreneur and being a creative, I totally got it. But I also said, you're going to catch some shit for this.
Yeah,
and,
I mean.
And he did. And he did. And he laughed about it, though, like, okay, so.
I agree with you. I don't get into titles. Like, yeah,
I'm not a fan of titles.
You can be king, queen. I don't give a fuck what you are.
You like, put on some good shit. If you put on some good shit.
But my thing is, he came here, he did it, he did what he did. So, but, I mean.
And it's still consistent with it. I mean, you know.
So I don't really care about, like, I don't know why people up in arms. Like, if anything, to a degree, it should inspire you. Like, hell, maybe I need to open a venue or maybe I need to do something. But, I mean, I get it, people being natives here. And, again, I might as well be a native, but I'm not a native. I wasn't born and raised in Charlotte and all that. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was just too much. It put too much emphasis on being the king of Charlotte. Now, on the other hand, he fucked up because these same people you're pissing them off who are supporting you. So now
that was, like, that was the other side
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, so now it's like, all right, you run around here saying you king of Charlotte. I never go back and eat at your spot. I never go back and party at your spot.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people felt that way. So it's a catch 22 to that statement. I'm like you. I thought it was funny. I knew he was going to catch heat.
I thought it was bad funny. Guys, like, oh,
I
shit.
Knew he was going to catch heat for it. And, you know, it is what it is. But
it worked. It worked because it worked. The ones who never probably had went to Sports One went.
Yeah. Or didn't go to Club One.
Or Club One, and it went. So it's like, okay, did he lose or did he win?
I need to see what this motherfucker claim he king. I don't need to go see what the fuck he doing.
Exactly. You done spent $40 or $50 in there off of drinks and things like that. Talking about, I ain't have a good time. But you gave him $50.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting, man. That's why I asked you, because I thought it was, to me, it was funny. And people were asking me, I'm like, man, I don't get into title. Like, if that's what if he says he's the king, right, he's the king.
Yeah, if you got to put good product, man, put that good product out. And I think that would
people just get caught up in that, man. Like, titles don't mean shit, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. I know I'm not a fan of titles. I just like to put the work out and just let it speak for itself. Or you like to have a good time, have a good time.
Yeah.
So, just like you said, sometimes you do things that you don't put your name on it. It's just the fact that you just want to be a part of something dope, you know? And you did, Charlotte. You part of Charlotte Shout.
Yep, Charlotte Shout was dope. I do Charlotte Jazz Festival 2 every year, which that is really taking off. I do it with Blumenthal. But Charlotte mm-hmm. Shout, I was happy and blessed to be a part of that. Me and Tim Scott, who's, I don't know what his title is there, but we had a stage together, 3 days, free, some dope-ass artists,
mm-hmm.
and I think it was pretty much successful. Saturday, it rained like crazy. We had to move it inside to an art museum at Spirit Square. But outside of that, everything worked well.
Okay.
Hey, that's definitely happy about that. Hopefully it keeps continuing, though.
That's what's up, man. So before I go, I know. So what I like to do on my show is I like to just pretty much ask you one question. So what's next for me? What's next for Kitsch, man?
Like I told you before, there's other ways of entertaining. So I'm looking at some podcast stuff, speakers, different things like that. Mm-hmm. And plus, like I also told you before we got on here, I do stuff in six other cities, so that's keeping me busy as hell right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm working on some other stuff that's you'll know about. It's gonna be dope.
Hey man, I'm
it's
always
be something dope. Get your suit ready.
Oh, my suit.
Get your tux.
Okay, I'm cool. I'm cool with that. It's time to pull out another tux. I haven't had put one on back in November.
Get your tux. Tell your friends. This it's gonna be. Nah, now it's really gonna be dope.
I think you got a time frame or? You don't
want to get that out yet. Early fall.
Early fall. Okay, that's what's up. But let everybody know where they can find you at, man. If you got some social media.
Twitter, IG at the soul thesolkitchen. Facebook, The Soul Kitchen Events.
Bet. Again, appreciate you sitting down with me, man. Enjoyed the conversation. And we will be talking again because I like your insight on some things. So we're going to have that real conversation.
We'll definitely enjoy this. This is great. Thanks. Again, thanks for having me on here. And I know you know Tanya. Appreciate her and introducing us. So.
Hey, man, I appreciate that, man. Shout out to the homie Tanya, man.
Yep.
Thank you, Tanya. I am E-Dub, and you are listening to the Who Got Next podcast, and you can catch me on Instagram at whogotnext_CLT. And if you have any questions or any comments about some of the shows that you're listening to, you can hit me up on my email, whogotnextclt@gmail.com. And like I say all the time, man, if you out there doing some dope stuff, I'm going to find you, and we're going to sit down, and we're going to have a chat. All right? Peace.